on this episode of The Commercial Break.
A lot of times they'd end up back at our apartment, partying till the wee hours in the morning, drugs all over the place, liquor all over the place, nudity all over the place. I got hit on so much, I don't even know which way my head was turning sometimes, you know. But sometimes I was really cautious. I had dated dancers before.
Yes.
I knew dancers.
And you had lived with dancers
I
before.
Lived with dancers. Yes. I lived with dancers. I was 17.
Yes.
I kicked out on my own, bringing my dad's mattress with me. And he demanded it. He didn't want me back. He wanted the mattress
yes.
back. That's what he was worried about. The mattress I had had for 12 years of my life, my dad was worried about. He's better now, by the way.
Yeah.
He's better now.
Yes.
Much better grandfather
yeah.
than he was father. But I was also a dick, so I was a dick, he was a dick, it was two dicks rubbing each other the wrong way.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Yeah, boy!
Oh, yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to The Commercial Break. I'm Brian Green, this is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris and Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. It's Two for Thursday, not quite as ringy as Two for Tuesday, but we'll take it. We're here on a Thursday recording episodes just for you because we love you and we want you to be happy all the time. Every time. All the time.
All the time, every time.
What if Allison put out a clip of our episode?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it?
I did not.
On Instagram? And it was like the part where I was like, there's most of the time I walk out of the studio and I'm like, well, that wasn't so good. And I'm like, Allison, all the clips you could have taken. I guess it's a little revenge for us not giving away the secrets of our success.
Yes, that's right.
The secrets of our success are just keep doing it despite all indications
yes.
you should stop. If you've ever been a podcaster, then you'll know there are signs along the way that go, probably not working out for you. But Chrissy and I just run right through those like a couple drunk drivers.
Yeah.
Whatever. Who cares about stop signs?
This is true.
Astrid and...
we got to be approaching our 1,000th
We're at nine... Well, officially, we're at like 967
okay.
or something. Unofficially, we're at 940.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like 27 episodes.
Okay.
For whatever reason, you know, few that we took off the RSS feed, few got lost. Few just don't count because they're part of the whatever, you know, specials that we did.
A few we mentioned Scientology on.
Yeah, a few we mentioned Scientology on. That's right.
They,
well, I don't even count those ones. Those ones.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about like the 12 hours of TCB. I counted those as one, not as,
yes.
you know, 12. So there's a couple in there, but we are getting, we certainly have way more than 1,000 hours of content.
Oh, well, of course we do.
Yeah, I think we're at like getting close to 1,400 hours of content.
God.
It's insane when you think about it. 1,400 hours. How many days is that? How many days would you listen to The Commercial Break? Let's see here. Let's take a conservative estimate, say there's 1,400. That would be two full months of nonstop listening to The Commercial Break every hour of every day. 59 days. Wow. Wah, wah, wee, wah.
We're bingeable.
We are bingeable.
Mm-hmm.
No one does it, but we are bingeable.
I think my friend BT did it. It took him I think it may have taken.
I can't, but I just love
three,
BT.
Four months.
Kiss on your face, BT.
Yes.
Chef's kiss to you.
Chef's kiss.
I can't believe you would listen to my voice. Not even my wife has heard 60 days worth of my voice. Mainly because she got me to do this stupid fucking
yes.
podcast, keeping me out of her ear. Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. I just saw a thread, Instagram's threads,
mm-hmm.
where this lady put together a series of pictures. I guess J-Lo is getting real severe backlash right now for the way that she, the diva way that she acts around regular human beings.
Oh, really?
And this lady told this story. Let me see if I can find... I'll give her a shout out here so I'm not just stealing her content.
I just saw an interview with her. She seemed like a nice lady.
At MMXX8806. So on TikTok. MMXX8806 if you want to go watch the full thing. I'm not going to play it here, but she's telling a story about how when she was a waitress, she had J-Lo... was going to come into her restaurant. So J-Lo's team calls the restaurant. Let me truncate her story a little bit. So J-Lo's team calls the restaurant days ahead of time, a week ahead of time, and says, we need you to get the restaurant professionally deep cleaned by this cleaning service and send us the receipt that it was done before J-Lo comes.
Wow.
The deep clean is done. The receipt is sent. They then send a company to put up partitions in an already private dining room that they have inside of the restaurant so that no one can see inside of any part of the restaurant that J-Lo is going to be in.
Mm-hmm.
She then is whisked into the restaurant via private entrance where everyone is cleared out. Only J-Lo's team is allowed to be near her when she's whisked into the restaurant, into the private room. And this lady is the waitress assigned to the private room. So she goes to go into the private room, and one of J-Lo's people is standing there with an iPad and says, "No, you're not going to be presenting any food to J-Lo. We want you to use this iPad and use the message feature on here to talk to our team that's inside the room, and we will tell you what she wants. We will tell you her order via these messages, and then the food will be delivered by us to J-Lo." In other words, no one is going to see J-Lo while she's here, except for the team that is with J-Lo.
No one can lay eyes on her, huh?
How fucking obnoxious is that? I mean, honestly. Like, okay, you're a germaphobe, you want the deep cleaning, you're afraid that someone could put something in your food, you're afraid. I mean, I get it. There must be a level of paranoia that comes with that amount of fame.
Mm-hmm.
I do understand that you want to take extra precautions and that the team wants to take extra precautions to make sure that not on their watch does anything happen. And I'm sure J-Lo has been the subject of death threats and all this other stuff. Like, I can imagine after a period
Stalkers.
Of time. Yeah, that makes you very weary of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a level of kindness and professionalism and humanity that can be had while you do all of this stuff. Hey, do you mind if we bring in a deep cleaning place just to make sure that everything's okay and that, you know, there's no incidents or any kind of, you know, bacteria or nefariousness that goes on? Yes. Hey, would you mind if we had a private dining room? Hey, the people that are going to wait on J-Lo, could we ask them to please not ask for autographs? Oh, mm-hmm. She just wants to have a meal. All that stuff is like really easy to communicate. And I'm sure there's lots of celebrities out there that communicate something the same. I have heard from people. I had lunch with a woman in New York. That woman in New York was a waitress at one point in New York. Mm-hmm. Not long ago, a year ago, year and a half ago. And during the Eras tour, Taylor Swift was flying to her shows, and then she would have like, you know, 4 or 5 day breaks in between certain shows to rest yes. her vocals and all this. And she would fly back to New York, and the paparazzi would go fucking crazy.
Oh, yeah.
And she was all over New York from, you know, she was up in the village. She was down in Soho. She was over in whatever that island is, you know, the Hamptons that everyone goes mm-hmm. to. She was all over the place, and she was showing up at public places with her boyfriend, Travis, and all of her celebrity friends. And this woman that I was having a meeting with was waiting on Taylor and some of her celebrity friends one night. And you know what the prep was for that? A one-day phone call notice that she was coming in.
I read an article about how Taylor was really nice.
Yeah.
She like comes in, gets out, you know, that she was very nice.
So this lady showed me pictures with Taylor, and I think it was Blake Lively that mm-hmm. was at the time with her. So maybe it was 2 years ago because Blake and Taylor haven't been friends in a while, but she showed me pictures that were taken. You know, it wasn't like kissy face. It was just a picture that was taken. They were standing there and this lady got a picture with them, which is very kind of her. And she said she was the nicest person, that Travis was the nicest guy, that it was just like she was waiting on anybody else, and then a 50% tip, right? Like,
yeah.
you know, a 50 fucking
That's
percent
the way to
tip.
Handle it.
I've heard, you know, even Howard Stern, the most egregious celebrity there's ever been. Like, he's a germaphobe. He doesn't want to talk to people. He's 7 feet tall. He's like, doesn't go out of his house. He's agoraphobic almost. I have heard from people who have been in public places with Howard Stern where he's not like, he doesn't want to do it, but he's not a dick, right? Mm-hmm. He's not a dick, and he's a big tipper. And, you know, these are the type of things when God blesses you, when the universe blesses you with a certain amount of privilege, you know, you have to be a human about it, or else you're just spitting in the face of all that talent, spitting in the face of all that work that you've done, spitting in the face of all that privilege that you've got, and fucking J-Lo go back to the block. J-Lo from the block, my ass. Now, I would say that this is just a woman who is airing her grievances on Threads because, you know, anybody can say anything about anybody, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. However, I personally know
I like it when you do that.
Yes. But I know that this is true. How do I know this is true? Because I have a friend, let's call him a friend, who was working in the movie industry when J-Lo did the movie What to Expect When Expecting here in Atlanta. And it was a first kind of experience for my friend in the movie industry. And he was working, like, he was the location manager. And so J-Lo was going to be on set, and J-Lo's security team had to have not one, not two, but multiple meetings with the location manager, this guy that I know, and tell him all of the rules and regulations around J-Lo and her being on set, including don't look at her in the eye, don't talk to her, don't even look in her direction, like all the most ridiculous diva shit that you can only imagine is just made up. It's not. It's real. She's a diva, and she does this kind of shit. And you know what, J-Lo? You get every bit of backlash that you get. And personally, I don't think J-Lo's all that talented. That's my personal opinion. I've never seen a movie that I care about with her. I haven't heard many songs that I think are great from J-Lo. She had to cancel a tour recently because of low ticket sales. You know, take that and then compare that to Taylor Swift or Beyonce, who, you know, you'd think Beyonce was the biggest diva in the world, but I've heard she's also
I've heard that too.
There's humanity in all of this. You can still be a fucking human. If you're a germaphobe, be a germaphobe, but do it in a human way. Be a nice woman, for God's sake. Stop all the bullshit. Come on the commercial break. Let's talk about it, J-Lo. Let's talk about what an idiot you're... I mean, am I wrong here? Am I wrong in saying that it's like... totally trashy and just opposition to everything that privilege gives you.
Yeah. That's taking it too far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Epstein class. Yeah. The Epstein files. Release them.
Release the files.
They had a situation, a sit room meeting. Did you read that?
Who hot, who not?
Who
South
hot, who
Georgia
not.
Steve. South Georgia.
South Georgia Sean on the block. Who hot, who not? who not? Who not?
Did I say Steve?
Don't look J-Lo in the eye. who not? DCB on the block. We did that for months.
We did.
Months. And every time it pops up, I think that was funny. But I wonder if we just did it too much and now I don't find it so funny anymore. But maybe I'll bring it back.
Yeah, we can go back to
who
it.
Knows? Who know? Who don't?
Who know?
who know? Who not? Brian's brain in a knot. Okay. All right. The fucking Trump administration had a sit room meeting about the Epstein files. Did you read about this?
No.
Okay. New York Times comes out with a big article. The situation room in the White House where wars are planned, nuclear codes are had, the best brains and all of the military might that history has ever known goes into that room to talk about very serious things.
Situations.
People dying, terrorist attacks, murder cases, stuff that, you know, that is super important to the national security and then sometimes the world security. The situation room is where it all goes down.
Yeah.
Watch an episode of The West Wing. The best interpretation of the situation sit room I've ever seen is there inside of that West Wing. And it's a very serious place where unserious things don't get talked about. However, the Trump administration decided that the Epstein crisis was getting so out of hand that they needed to do a meeting in the situation room. And when they did a meeting in the situation room, they did it about Donald Trump's appearance in the Epstein files. Now, here's what takes this over the edge. That in and of itself is insane to me, that you would have a meeting about the Epstein files in the situation room. It takes the Epstein files to a whole new level. First of all. Second of all, what was really being talked about is that some woman had claimed she was sexually assaulted by Donald Trump, and when that sexual assault happened, she presented part of the evidence that she presented as this really did happen was that Donald Trump had a nipple fetish, a fetish with his nipples and a fetish with other people's nipples.
Ew.
I know.
Ew.
God, just think of Donald Trump's nipples.
No,
they're probably the pointy down type. You know what I'm saying? Like the cow milk.
I did not need that visual.
I imagine they don't have color either. Like God, they're not like brown nipples. They're just like my hand colored nipples. With that gray hairs growing out of him. God bless Melania Trump. God bless her. But they spent a good amount of time. J.D. Vance, Cash Patel, Only the brightest minds in all the world. Yeah. We're talking about Donald Trump's nipple fetish and whether or not they should release files related to his nipple fetish. J.D. Vance made the argument, yes, we should. Get out in front of it. Just let it all go. Yeah. And then at least they can't say that we were hiding it, right? And everybody else was like, no, Donald doesn't want his nipples talked about. Nipples! Nipple, 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 nipple.
Oh my God, I need to read that article.
Donald's nipples on your cup. You need to read that article. You can't even deal with it.
You don't
want to hear about Donald's nipples.
This is
so highly egregious that I just can't even wrap my brain around.
Because there's so many things that you're like, what?
Yes.
That's happening? That happened?
How is this happening?
What?
Can we all agree that Donald has lost his ever-loving marbles? Every day, it's a new thing about Donald falling asleep, talking, about the brand new curtains when, the war in Iran is going on, his UFC game. The guy has lost his marbles.
Yeah.
He's obviously mentally deficient because of Alzheimer's, a stroke, or something. And all the time now, I saw another video of him walking off of whatever Air Force One or the helicopter, the Copter Force One, whatever the fuck that shit is, and Marine One. And he's walking off it and he can't walk in a straight line. He keeps zigging and zagging all the way around, like all the way to the White House. The guy has lost it. He's lost it.
Yeah.
He's done for. So the quicker we all agree on this reality, the better off we'll be. And at this point, as much as I don't like any of these people in the administration. I really don't. I don't find a lot of redemption in Kash Patel, Pete Hegseth, J.D. Vance, whoever else is surrounding themselves over there. The Bill Pulte, the guy who's going to be the National
Intelligence
Director.
What?
Bill Pulte?
Yeah.
The guy is like a wannabe streamer influencer whose dad built the largest home building company in the world. And it was his dad who did all the work. He's a trust fund baby who's done no national security whatsoever.
No.
And now we're going to put him in charge so that he can find the, 8,000 votes in Georgia that, whatever.
Oh, God.
Okay. Listen, all of this leads me to conclude one thing. Donald Trump will be, they are going to use the, what is it? Which article is it? The 19th article, something article to get him out of office, meaning the whole cabinet's going to vote on it and they're going to say he's not worthy. He's going to fall. The poor guy's going to fall and break his hip and then he's going to be hospitalized for the rest of his life. Or something really terrible is going to happen because he can't think straight. We need to get him out of office. And I would say the same thing if this was Biden, Obama, Clinton, Bush. I don't care. It's so obvious. It's being recorded. He can't even stay awake for the most serious of conversations. The guy needs to go and take a nap.
Yeah.
He needs to go with Biden off
to 80.
Rehoboth Beach or whatever. And let those two get under an umbrella together. Let their hairy nipples fly. They can rub each other's nipples and go to sleep. He's 80 as of this Sunday.
Yep.
UFC 250.
Oh, God.
We're going to kill people on the front lawn.
So embarrassing.
God bless. Something really bad, tragic, super tragic happens in that UFC 250. I think it's going to be like a whole fucking shit show. I don't know why they would even think about this. People get really seriously hurt.
I think even Joe Rogan was saying, like, what are they doing? It's the heat that's going to be.
The heat, the flies, the gnats, the rats, everything. There's no control over it. And these fighters already have enough to deal with. Mm-hmm. And now they're going to deal with rain, wind, gnats, all the other things that can come into play, the X factors when it comes to weather. They're going to do all of that. And for no glory whatsoever, because I can guarantee you this is going to be the same shit show that the Kid Rock halftime show was, that the 250 state fair, country fair, whatever they put together was, with Millie fucking Vanilli, yeah. Which doesn't even have a Vanilli anymore. It's just Millie.
No.
Millie, with yeah. Millie, iced tea, vanilla ice. Maybe it should be Millie Vanilla is what it should be. And those two should get together and do some songs. And now it's going to be Donald Trump and Lee Greenwood. Lee Greenwood.
They keep trotting out Lee Greenwood.
Poor Lee Greenwood.
In a pinch. The pincher.
I remember hearing Lee Greenwood say one time, he's like, Hey, listen, I'm not a fan of one particular candidate or another. I'm just happy that my song is getting all this attention.
Yeah.
Right? Well, yeah. How do you feel now, Lee Greenwood? Now you're the only act. Even Vanilla Ice got fucked. Poor Vanilla Ice.
He did. He was sticking with it, too.
I know. Well, of course he was. He's got what else has he got going on?
Right.
He's building houses down in South Florida for HGTV 2. He's not even on the real HGTV. He's on Home and Garden TV or whatever it is. I mean, the guy's got nothing going. None of these people had anything going on. But half of them didn't even know they were on it.
No, well, that's the thing.
Half of them were like, wait, what? I didn't sign up for that. But I guess if I'm giving it a paycheck. Who was the one guy? CNC Music Factory.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
He was on his toilet. Did you see that? He did a video, like an Instagram video from his toilet. And he was like, I got all these text messages saying I'm on this bill. And, you know, I don't know. You know, I didn't even know about this. But if I'm not going to be canceled by nobody, fuck it, I'm doing it. And I thought to myself, yeah, because no one else is asking you to play anywhere.
Right.
It's unbelievable. Can't even get like Poison. Like you could get Bret Michaels to play. Bret Michaels was
He was on there.
Yeah, but where's the rest of Poison? Where's that CC? Why can't they play?
CC DeVille.
Yeah, I think the fact is they just didn't sell any tickets. They generated no interest, and I think the UFC is going to be the same. They're going to fill those stands with people.
Yeah.
Because there's enough idiots in this world that want to go see that they'll be there. But all the celebrities have bowed out. No one's going to be in the stands, even Joe Rogan. When Joe Rogan was asked if he's going to do it, he's like, I don't know. They tell me where to go, right? They just tell me, like UFC just tells me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But Joe says, you know, I hate this idea, but he'll show up for the paycheck.
Yeah, he will.
Because that's Joe fucking Rogan. You know, I have this love-hate relationship with Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
I really do. I have a love-hate relationship with Joe Rogan. I think sometimes he says stuff and I go, yeah, Joe, there you are. And then sometimes he doesn't say stuff where I'm like, what the fuck are you thinking, dude?
I know, he is.
I know your brain is better than that. I know it. But maybe it's not. Maybe it's too much ayahuasca. You know?
Maybe.
You start doing ayahuasca every third Tuesday and smoking pot every night and drinking whiskey with Elon Musk. You know, shit's bound to go off the rails at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. Let's take a break. When we get back, I want to talk about the Bare Naked Ladies.
Oh.
What's the name of it? Tom Green and the Bare Naked Ladies.
Okay.
What do those two things have in common? Do you know?
I don't.
Okay. Canada. That's what they have in common.
Yeah.
Let's talk about both of them. Tom Green is going to be a guest on our show.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we stop taking guests. So sorry, Tom. Maybe we'll have you back. Tom Green also, fun fact, the very first podcaster ever.
Really?
Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Largely credited with Joe Rogan being a podcaster, Tom Green.
Huh.
And I'll tell you how it all happened when we get back.
Hey, it's Rachel, your new voice of God here on TCB. And just like you, I'm wondering just how much longer this podcast can continue. Let's all rejoice that another episode has made it to your ears, and I'll rejoice that my check is in the mail. Speaking of mail, get your free TCB sticker in the mail by going to tcbpodcast.com and visiting the Contact Us page. You can also find the entire commercial break library, audio and video, just in case you want to look at Chrissy, at tcbpodcast.com. Want your voice to be on an episode of the show? Leave us a message at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Tell us how much you love us, and we'll be sure to let the world know on a future episode. Or you could make fun of us. That'd be fine, too. We might not air that, but maybe. Oh, and if you're shy, that's okay. Just send a text. We'll respond. Now I'm going to go check the mailbox for payment while you check out our sponsors, and then we'll return to this episode of the commercial break.
I walked in the door to grab a latte. I paid $10, heard Ariana Grande. But then I saw him and his big dog. I felt my knees weak, here came the brain fog. And though I'm not gay, you make me feel that way. I hope it never ends, my new Starbucks boyfriend. All my toes curl, all the feels come. My world of gold, you are my shining sun. We love to talk sports and swim in pools. You like the patio, I like the bar stools. And we spill tea and we throw shade. The other tables might think we're gay. I don't really care, I hope it never ends. You're my best Starbucks boyfriend.
How is he?
He's good. I just was texting with him. I haven't seen him this week, but
yeah.
I was texting with him. He said he was at Starbucks, and there was two men sitting at table number four straight. On the same side of the table.
Oh.
And he said, let's never do that.
Yeah. It's a good rule.
Between the song and us sitting together? Yeah. I have not seen I Love You, Man, but I do want to see that movie. Is that Paul Rudd and the crazy guy, the guy I love, the guy who did the one about the chair company?
Yes, yes,
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, okay, I want to see that. Definitely want to see that.
I never finished that series.
I loved it. I loved it. I loved every minute of it. I thought it was brilliant. but I'm like kind of offbeat like that. That's my style. Okay, Tom Green. We all know Tom Green. Tom Green. MTV fame. First of Canada Public Access fame, then of MTV fame.
He was big for a while.
He was huge. He was all over the... I mean, he was like a global sensation.
And he married Drew Barrymore.
Mm-hmm. They had a... I think they were married for like 5 or 6 years, mm-hmm. if I'm not mistaken. Tom Green was a radio guy that turned into like a little too wily for radio in Canada. So then he went to a public access television and he had this show that was just incredibly hard to describe. It really was gonzo television. And we all saw the Tom Green show on MTV that was also gonzo. It was hard to describe. It was MTV took a chance on him and it turned into a massive, massive success.
Yeah.
Right around the time when Beavis and Butthead came, this is like back in the 90s. And then Tom Green did Freddy Got Fingered, the movie, which unbelievably 20th Century Fox or whoever put this together, gave him like millions and millions of dollars to make.
I don't think I saw that.
And no one saw it because it's largely credited like with being the worst movie ever. But he was trolling everybody, according to him. He was trolling everybody with the movie. He wanted to make it obscure, obscene, and he wanted to kind of point, he wanted to give the middle finger to the regular movie productions. Tom Green has always been a troll. He was always trolling. Tom Green, back in 2004 and 2005, after he had this huge success and then all the Tom Green backlash, and then he was never heard from. And then in 2004 and 2005, he built his own digital live streaming studio in his house and started going live on a nightly basis from his house doing long-form talk content. He would still do all the crazy stunts. He would still be crazy. But then he would bring guests on. Guests like a young up-and-coming comedian who was hosting Fear Factor at the time,
Joe Rogan.
Mm-hmm. And Joe would come on his show, and he would be a regular guest on Tom Green's show. And then Joe and Tom said, you got to do this. You can put ads in the show. You could make money doing it. Like, you could do this whole thing right from your basement. And then Joe Rogan went and started the Joe Rogan Experience, the same type of show that Tom does. As a matter of fact, Joe has often credited Tom Green with being the first podcaster, doing this long-form talk content via digital, whatever, video, and then podcast came along, audio mm-hmm. packets you could send with Apple. That was Adam Curry who started that technology, Adam Curry from MTV fame.
Right.
So then Joe started doing podcasts once they came along. He started putting his live show into these audio format. So this ended up being one of the first podcasts ever available was Tom Green and Joe Rogan's long form. Joe was doing 4 hours. Tom was doing an hour or two. So Tom Green, this wily, crazy, no one can really describe it, no, you know, kind of gross, weird, shock comedian, ended up becoming very popular, fell out of favor, started doing long form live digital, then podcasts. And now Tom is a farmer in Canada.
Really?
And has become a totally different human being. He's almost got like a Rick Rubin vibe to him.
Okay.
Still pulls out that shock comment every once in a while. Still goofy at times. Still willing to go there with
the
comedy.
Beard?
He's got the beard. He's mm-hmm. got the big gray beard. Mm-hmm. Just like Dave Letterman. I don't know what happens to these talk show hosts. But after they get off air, all of a sudden they got a big gray
beard.
Dave's beard is like down here. I mean, he looks like Santa fucking Claus. He's only 12 pounds. Sopping wet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. He looks like a weird Santa Claus. You know what I'm saying? But still love Dave.
Yes.
But now Tom has turned into this vodcast, you know, show host that is doing these more serious, in-depth interviews with people from his farm. I forgot the name of the podcast. It's like called Canada Now or something.
Okay.
And he recently had on Stephen Page, formerly the lead singer of bare naked ladies.
The old naked ladies.
The old naked ladies. Now, I've told this story before, how a pair of naked ladies turned me on to bare naked ladies, and then we went on tour with bare naked ladies and Stephen Page. I think if I remember correctly, this would have been 2002, 2003, 2004, something like that. Mm-hmm. When this all happened, I had a couple of roommates.
That's a funny story. A
couple of female roommates that were bartenders at a local bar. We all became friends. Two Jessicas, Jessica and Jess, is how we referred to them. One of them was this tall Amazon blonde. And one of them was this brunette red, she would dye her hair red, girl. And I loved them both a great deal. And I ended up moving into their house for a short period of time, even though they had four cats.
Yeah.
I just couldn't deal with it after a while. I was too sick all the time. But they also had a third roommate. So it was four of us living in the house. And that third roommate, Jess, ended up becoming a bartender at the Gold Club.
Okay.
A very famous strip club here in Atlanta. And she then had a fourth roommate that moved in that was a dancer at the Gold Club. So not only were the cats bothering, there was a lot of pussy in that house.
Yeah.
A lot of pussy. Some I was allergic to, some I became allergic to, because it sounds great to have a bunch of dancers at your house at 4 a.m, you know, that just got done naked. I mean, these girls were wild. I saw more tits and ass in this one
I'm sure.
and a half months that I lived with these girls. I saw more tits and ass. There was naked people all over the place all the time. Girls were hitting on me 24/7 because they come back drunk. You know, they couldn't go home with guys. That was like strictly not allowed.
Yeah.
The security guards would walk them to a cab, their own car, or whoever was picking them up. Like, they never went home with any guys. Even though they were allowed to suck and fuck in the club, that's why it ended up closing. They weren't allowed to go home with anybody, right? So they'd all end up back at our apartment, partying till the wee hours in the morning, drugs all over the place, liquor all over the place, nudity all over the place. I got hit on so much, I don't even know which way my head was turning sometimes, you know. But sometimes I was really cautious. I had dated dancers before.
Yes.
I knew dancers.
And you had lived with dancers
I
before.
Lived with dancers. Yes. I lived with dancers. I was 17.
Yes.
I kicked out on my own, bringing my dad's mattress with me. And he demanded it. He didn't want me back. He wanted the mattress back. That's what he was worried about. The mattress I had for 12 years of my life, my dad was worried about. He's better now, by the way. He's better now.
He is.
Much better grandfather than he was father. But I was also a dick, so I was a dick, he was a dick, it was two dicks rubbing each other the wrong way. But I had been around dancers for most of my young adult life, and I just knew how much trouble they could be. And so I wasn't always, even though I certainly attracted to, you know, naked, beautiful women, I wasn't always hot to trot on being involved with them. Let's put it that way.
That was a good rule.
I thought so. Even at my young age, I was starting to understand the rules of the road a little bit. Mm-hmm. I was growing up really fast, let's put it that way. So one day, we decided we were going to go to the Bare Naked Ladies concert, me, Jess, and Jessica. And we went there, and Jess got picked out of the crowd to go backstage. Like, old school rock and roll tour manager comes out, gives you a couple of backstage passes, tells you to hang out after the show. And because I was with the girls, I got dragged along. That started like a 4-week odyssey where we were driving all over the Southeast with the Bare Naked Ladies and Stephen Page and, you know, the other guys in the band who were all very lovely, by the way. I don't have a bad thing to say about them, but it was,
but
Stephen Page, who I would say was the wilder of the boys, right? Everyone else was kind
of the ladies.
Stephen Page, who was the lead singer, he was very into Jess, but he was also very into being married with the ring on his finger.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? So Jess was a little nervous about this whole thing. It was obvious he was hitting on her. And the other guys in the band were much more businesslike. They were like ready to get onto the next show and do it professionally. Steven was a bit of a partier. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And Steven got arrested for cocaine possession, and then he left the band shortly thereafter. That was in 2005. And no one's really heard from him since. Like, I mean, I've never seen anything about it, right?
Mm-mm.
But Tom Green had a sit down with him, and he talked about that period of time in his life. And he talked about how things got a little wild sometimes on the road, you know, including the ladies and the drugs and all that. And it kind of led to this friction in the band that they were embarrassed by all of it, and he had to leave the band. One of the most famous Canadian bands ever, the Bare Naked Ladies. And Stephen Page is no longer a part of it because of his behavior and because of his drug addiction and all this stuff, which is nothing to laugh at, by the way.
No.
But I think about that time and I think about, yeah, I was there. I know,
you were
Stephen.
Part of that.
I was part of it. I don't know if I was part of it. Jess was part of it.
Yeah. You were around it. You witnessed it firsthand.
We became super friendly with like his security, their security manager. And I remember that one time. So I had moved out of Jess and Jessica's house at this time. And one night they were... Bare Naked Ladies were going to Birmingham, and we had all intended that we were going to go to the Birmingham show. I was living with a different girl now down the street and dating a different dancer. And I remember that Jess wasn't, she was like at work and she wasn't answering the phone, right? And I think at this time, maybe there were like pagers and some cell phones that were coming out, right? And if I remember correctly, maybe Jess had one of those cell phones and she wasn't answering the phone, telling this security guard whether or not she was going to be coming to Birmingham. And so I got a phone call at the apartment and I was up. It was late. I was high on everything. And I was with this dancer girl that I, you know, was with. And we were, I remember being on the phone with this security guard till like the wee hours of the night, just talking
just
and
chatting.
Talking and talking with this security guard. And now I think back on it and I'm like, shouldn't he have been securitizing?
Yes.
Instead, he was bugging me to bug Jess to get to Birmingham so she could have an affair with the lead singer of Bare Naked Ladies.
Have you listened to this this interview?
I have. Yeah. I did. I listened to it. Yeah, okay. It's very interesting. Steve, you know, hey, listen, Stephen Page is like a lot of us. He's got a story and, you know, things were rocky. He said like this. He said, I moved out of my mom's house into my wife's house. I moved out of my wife's house onto the road with a tour manager who always took care of me. I was never an adult. I never learned how to be an adult. And I didn't treat the world I didn't know how to relate to the world. So drugs and sex and alcohol and all this other stuff was just the way that the way that life was for me until it wasn't, until it was embarrassing for everybody, until it was too much for me and until it ruined marriages and, you know, made children upset and all this other stuff. And so, you know, listen, I don't think that having done this a little tittle bit, I don't think the road is an easy place to live a life. And I really admire people who do it for a living year after year, time after time. The Pearl Jams of the world, the Rolling Stones of the world. And Jeff Ament from Pearl Jam has said this before, and I can see how this is true. He's the oldest of the band. He's like 58 years old. You know, he's the bassist of Pearl Jam. He's almost 60. And he has said, I hate the road. I love the shows. I hate the road. I hate the hotels. I hate the planes. I hate being away from my family. I hate being away from my house. I hate it. Right. But I do it because I love the show. Like the show is where the action is. And I can see that. But you have to deal with all the other shit that comes along with it. And there's got to be an outlet for frustrations and angers. There's no family around you. There's no support. There's nothing. You're with these five other guys that you probably sometimes like, sometimes hate. And you're just trying to get by to the next show. So what do? You kill time, drugs, alcohol, women, men, whatever it is. That it's the age-old story because living out of a suitcase ain't fucking easy. Mm-mm. And being adored 24 hours a day, never being able to be yourself. Imagine being Eddie fucking Vedder or Geddy Lee or whoever, whatever your favorite band is, right?
Yeah.
Imagine being those guys and you can't do, and I say this with all love and respect to Jennifer Lopez with J-Lo, is that like you go out into the world and the world is always looking at you, always, never not looking at you.
I would hate that.
Yeah. And so, you know, this has got to be one of the hardest things to do is not the actual part where you're giving your talent, all the other parts that come along with it and adjusting to that perspective in life. And that is why I'm glad I'm part of the commercial break because I will never have to know what that's like. I got noticed one time at the Zoltan show and I ran away from a picture. I'm like,
I know. Can I have a photo? No.
My literal default reaction was to, are you Brian Green from the commercial break? Can I have a picture? Was no, you cannot. That was my response.
Yeah.
That's how I identify with the world. That's how I relate to the world. Fuck you.
Yeah.
But anyway, Stephen Page on the apology tour. Will there be a Bare Naked Ladies reunion?
Could
I don't know. Does anybody care? Probably not. Listen, For my money...
The 90s are big again.
The 90s are big again. But for my money, Bare Naked Ladies, even when I was on tour with them, not my favorite band.
Yeah.
I had a roommate that turned me, like, that was on, that turned me on to Bare Naked Ladies in the sense that it was the first time I'd ever heard it.
Yeah.
Like, their live album. If I had $1 million, if I had $1 million, or I walked into the old apartment, this is where I used to live.
That's a good impression.
And I always thought, that's the dumbest fucking song I've ever heard. Who walks into their old apartment? How do you get in there? Who's giving you the keys? Do you have the old keys? If I had $1 million, yeah, okay. If I had $1 billion, you had $1 million, you can't even buy a gallon of gas for $1 million.
Wasn't
anymore.
There another, like, catchy?
Chickity chick, chick, Chinese
yes,
chicken. Get it on,
tick,
and you won't
I'm
stop
thinking.
Licking. Giving it on with my shoes on. Got no shoes on.
And with no lights on.
With no lights on. How can I love you when I try and be like a man? What does that have to do with chicken? What does love have to do with chicken? Chickity chine to the Chinese chicken. Chinese chicken. Are they Chinese chickens or are they just chickens? I'm not sure. There's this show called Mr. D that I watch. Canadian show.
Oh, yeah, you talked about that.
Okay. He's a teacher.
Yeah.
You know, his name is Jerry Duncan, Mr. Duncan. And there's a scene, like, they had 7 seasons and they thought the 7th was going to be the last. So the final show is like, it's a weird, like, episode of Mr. D, but there's this reporter who's talking about all the terrible things Jerry, the teacher, has done over the years, over the seasons, like with the kids and all this. It's an adult comedy, but they have kids in the show, and you know, sometimes it gets a little racy and all this other stuff. So they're talking about all these terrible things that he's done and terrible things that he taught the children. He's a bad teacher, basically. And the reporter's in there, and she's pulling out a bunch of DVDs from his office desk, and he's like, "Oh yeah, that's my curriculum for health." And she's like, "Raging Bull is your that's and he goes, "Oh yeah, I just find it easier to show them rather than talk to them about it." And he goes, "You know, Raging Bull?" And she goes, "What's Raging Bull teaching them?" And he goes, "Well, I think it's important that boys and girls learn a lesson about menstruation, female menstruation." And she goes, "Is there any other kind?" And then he goes, and she goes, "What are you teaching me?" He goes, "Well, you know how women get, argh, I don't like that. Get away from me." I just find it to be the funniest fucking thing that he's talking about female menstruation. And she goes,
right,
"Is there any other kind?" Maybe. I think there's male menstruation.
What did that have to do with the Bare Naked Ladies?
What that had to do with the Bare Naked Ladies is nothing.
Okay.
Is
just
the fact,
wanted to clear that
yeah,
up.
Is the fact that their lyrics are as clear as using Raging Bull to teach women
got
about
it.
Menstruation.
Okay, that was the
got
connection.
Right.
Wanted to
I
see
just
what
that
made spark
that up.
Was.
I just made that up. All right, short break and we'll be back.
Okay, you're probably wondering why I, Rachel, have taken over the voice duties at TCB. It's pretty simple. Astrid asked me to shut Brian up, even for a minute. Well, lovely Astrid, your wish is my command. Do you want to help Astrid too? You know you do. Leave a message for her, or me, or Chrissy at 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You can be on the show too. Mm-hmm. Just call and say something. Anything. Or text us and we'll text you right back. Promise. Then head over to tcbpodcast.com and get your free sticker. It's your constitutional right to a sticker, and we must abide. You get the point. Follow us on Instagram at The Commercial Break and watch all the episodes on video at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Best to you and Astrid, especially Astrid.
Thank you.
on my greatest hits album.
Right, yeah, that's your glory.
Bare Naked Ladies needs a new lead singer. Auditioning. Want a force set? Not that same, that bone across of it. Oh my god, yeah. The crunch in my voice. Mine wouldn't have lasted 2 years. Mine would have been like.
Was that at the party?
That
was at the party.
That's at the party. Yeah. You can hear both people in the background screaming for more. Yay! Yay! High on Ice House and right. Bad weed. Come on, motherfuckers, get up! Both of you. Oh, God, what a nightmare.
Good times.
Yeah, listen, you know, we all have a past. And
yeah.
Mine's on 1,400 hours of the commercial break for you. For your listening pleasure. I wonder how the new director of the animated series is going to take this episode of the commercial break.
Right.
For sure. I, you know, I do have to say this. You know, we're kind of chopping our way through our time off over the last couple of weeks. I do have to say this. We went to Gustavo's wedding, mm-hmm. which was just a lovely affair.
Oh, it looked so fun.
Lovely affair. You know, when you're in a Venezuelan world and when your universe is Venezuelan, you know that the parties are going to last a long time. They're going to hit hard. You're going to get fed well, but you have to have your dancing shoes on because there is no other way to do it. I'm going through Europe with three small children. Okay. There's the number, three small children. Yeah. I say 3 to 15 or 12 to 15 or whatever.
Because it seems really like three. That.
That's what it seems like. Yeah. It doesn't matter. After one, you might as well say 10. Three, you're outnumbered. So yeah, it doesn't matter. They're all calling your name 24 hours a day. One's making a mess while the other one's taking a poop. You know, it's a lot. So my kids and Astrid met me in London. And then from London, we spent a day. Well, here's what happened. This is really crazy. My father-in-law, Daniel, they had tickets from Venezuela to go to Madrid. Okay. And a couple of days before they go, they were looking for their tickets in the email, as you would do, or on the app or whatever, and they couldn't find them anywhere. Could not find them anywhere. Ryanair couldn't find them. Okay? So it turns out that Ryanair never completed the transaction. Even though they got to the completion page, they never took the money out of the account. The tickets never were actually there. Even though he had a screenshot of like him, you know, congratulations, reservation.
Oh, no.
They never sent him an email. They never sent him the tickets. They never had it. So days before he's supposed to be at his son's wedding, he has no tickets to go. And everyone had to scramble to find a way to get them there without spending an extra $17,000.
Sure.
Because if you think it's expensive to go from Atlanta to Europe, try Venezuela to Spain. Even though actually it's cheaper to go to Venezuela from Venezuela to Spain. Astrid and I had devised this whole plan. I'm going to be in London anyway. Come to London. Then from London, I can help you get the kids to Madrid. We all land at the same time. It basically works out perfectly. I'm going to be in London until Thursday or Friday. You can come in on Friday. We go there on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
The Airbnb's ready on Sunday. We need one night of an extra hotel room. That's it. So it's Wednesday, and I'm talking to Astrid, and she's getting everything ready. I took all the baggage with me. All the heavy baggage came with me.
Oh,
So that at least she didn't have to deal with that. So she has a couple of carry-ons. That's it. And the kids, of course, which are carry-ons also themselves. And she's going to make her way through this 8-hour flight somehow, some way, some shape. But at least it's the nighttime flight. So, you know, a little bit of sleepy juice, and hopefully the kids will go to sleep. And it worked out mostly to plan, by the way. She was very tired when she landed in London, but at least it worked out where the kids slept a little bit and didn't cause a big drama. But on Tuesday night, we're talking about how, you know, I'm going to pick her up. I'm going to get a car. I'm going to do the whole thing. I'll be there, yada, yada. And then I said, well, tell me what time the flight is on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So that I can get us a ride to the airport. So I'll order an Uber ahead of time.
Right.
Because five people, you got to order a big Uber, right?
I've done that before, and it works really well.
It works fantastically. Yeah. You actually put your flight information in. You tell them what time you want to be at the airport, and then about an hour ahead of time, when they're going to pick you up, they'll tell you, in order to get to the airport on this time, you need to be picked up at this time. Be ready. Your driver's on the way. Reserving an Uber is a really good fucking idea.
It is.
Actually.
Yep.
I soured on Uber for a little while, and now I'm back on Uber. Just FYI, just in case anybody's... It's keeping track. I soured on Airbnb for a while.
And now you're
I'm
back.
Okay with it. I'm back. I'm back, baby. I'm back. I love you, Airbnb. You changed the rules, and now I like it.
And they're completely redoing their company, I think.
They
want to be like everything. Amazon of home stuff.
Yeah,
something.
All right. I don't know if I'm all with all that, but they changed the rules around like parties and, you know, there are protections. Like if you get to a house and you show up and it's not the one you want, they'll find you another one for the same price. You know, it's like they'll take care of you. They've been around long enough now. They know how to handle most situations. I can appreciate that. We got two really great Airbnbs while we were there. The second one didn't have air conditioning when we showed up, and it was 96 degrees in where we were in Murcia. But I will say this, that we just spent one night uncomfortable, and the next morning, so we got there. It was clear the air conditioning wasn't working. The person who managed the house was there to show us around how to turn everything on, how to turn everything off. And it just never got cool. And so, but the next morning, 10 a.m., the air conditioning guy was there ready to fix the problem. And he did. And so, you know, okay. So we had one uncomfortable night. And the Airbnb we had in Madrid, it was in city center, perfectly located. It was a 3-bedroom apartment. It was huge. For something in Madrid, it fit all of us. It was a lovely place. 2 full bathrooms. It was lovely. Not a fucking complaint. Good for you, Airbnb. You did it. You did it right. The pictures were the actual pictures that you showed up to, unlike some hotels I've been to in New York. Fuck you.
That's true.
God damn. That's a really shady thing to do. Put pictures of another hotel on your website?
Yeah, it is.
Anyway. Okay. Not the point.
Tickets.
So I'm like, give me those tickets. I'm on the phone with Astrid for a half an hour. And she cannot find the tickets. Ryanair tickets. She cannot find them.
Your tickets?
Our tickets.
Oh.
From London to Madrid.
It. Okay, London.
So I say, okay, give me...
Is this after you had already heard about her parents?
Already heard about her parents.
Okay,
but
wow.
I didn't put 2 and 2 together until I called Ryanair. And I call Ryanair, and I have a whole conversation with Ryanair about this. I say, hey, listen, you know, these are booked through... I'm sorry. It wasn't Ryanair. That's not who it was. Not Lufthansa, not American. Who's the other one that flies over there? Virgin Atlantic. That's who it was. It was Delta through Virgin Atlantic. Okay. So I call them up. I say, hey, doodle diddle, kitty in the middle. What about my tickets? Here's my wife's name. Here's my name. This guy was awesome. He spent 15 minutes on the phone going through every system he knew how to go through to see if he could find our tickets without any reservation number, with only birth dates and names to go on. And he found where Astrid was on the website, where she had put the tickets in the checkout, where she had gone through the checkout. But for some reason, the bank never charged. The bank was never charged for the tickets. And so now we are days away from flying.
I can't believe that happened to both of you.
Both of us. Same company, same thing. Probably around the same time, within a week of each other. Unbelievable. So now we had to scramble to find tickets. So what we ended up doing was staying an extra day in London so that we could buy cheaper tickets, essentially, right? There was like a $500 difference if we just stayed in one extra day. So we paid $300 for the hotel room, saved some money. And then we went around London, 88 degrees outside the day that my children got there. The day that we had free that Saturday, it was 91 degrees.
That's wild.
So we walked all the way over to Kensington Palace, to Kensington fucking Palace from where we were staying near the arch. It was like a mile and a half walk. No, 2 mile walk. It was a 4 mile walk. 10 miles, 30 mile walk is what it was.
Excuse me. It was 100.
Sorry, 100 mile walk. We walked all the way across Hyde Park, all the way into Kensington Palace. And I am telling you what, it was fucking miserable to take that walk.
Because of the heat?
Yes.
Yeah.
So on the way back, we say, okay, none of this.
Right.
Let's get on that tube.
Which
I've only been on a few times, but I say, okay, let's go on the tube. So here's how the tube works. The tube works like this. You go down and you go into a tunnel. When you get in that tunnel, you got to figure out where you're going. And when you figure out where you're going, that's fine. You got to pay to get there. Now, it's not like the old days where you would buy a ticket and then you put it in the little machine or you give it to the ticket taker or whatever. No, ticket taker. There's probably been a ticket taker since 1992. But you put it in the little slot, the gate opens or that little rolly thing you can go in and then you go and you get on your train, right? No, that your tube. That's not how it works anymore. Now, you don't even buy tickets. You tap your credit card. Okay. We are at the Hyde Park station. And we are trying to just go a couple of stops down. And I've got my kids, a stroller, my wife, and I got my credit card out. And I beep it, boop, like that. And Astrid walks through. And the gate closes again, whoosh, like yeah. that. And then I boop, meh, meh, boop, meh, meh. And I'm like, oh, shit, am I getting declined? Boop, meh, meh. Little message reader says, you know,
error or decline?
Already passed.
Oh.
Already passed. Oh. And I'm like, I know I already passed, but now I got to get more people. There's no one around to help us. Nothing. There's hundreds of people are backing up behind us. And I'm like, boop, 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 So I take out a different credit card. Boop, bing.
Okay.
Door opens. I shove one of my kids through. I'm like, get the fuck through there. Yeah. Right?
Quick.
Yeah, quick. He falls down. You know, I just throw her through. Get the fuck through. And then my other kid's trying to go by, and I'm like, stop, 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 stop. And the thing closes, the glass thing goes whoosh, like this, closes. And then I go, hold on 1 second. Bing. Ah, meh.
Oh, no.
Bing. Meh, meh.
It wasn't letting you double use.
So then someone goes, hey, tap it once. And I go, what? And he goes, you go to tap it once. And I go, I did tap it once, but now I'm trying to tap it again to go through. Tap it once, everybody walks through. And I go, no, I'm not trying to cheat the system. He goes, it counts you as you go through. And I'm like, oh. He goes, that's why it says already passed. You've already put your credit card in. You should have been charged for everybody.
Yeah.
And I go, so what do I do now? He goes, now I got to find a new credit card. I don't have a new credit card. I have one credit card.
Yeah.
I didn't know that's how it works. You tap it, and then they just count you as you go through.
As you go through it.
Yeah, you just kind of walk through, and they count, and they charge you. Oh, my God, so embarrassing. But we got on that tube, and everyone was so excited to just be zipping through that tube.
Yeah.
That tube is awesome.
Is
that
it?
Thing, I love it. It's great. And unlike New York, yeah, not a huge fan of the subway, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay. It's okay, depending on where you're going.
It's okay.
But we got to the Hyde Park. It was so fucking hot out there, man. It was just so sweltering. We were at Kensington Palace. Even the guards.
Oh, one, God. They're in those fur hats and stuff.
One guard kept on like going.
Wool coats.
And then switching his gun to his other side. Oh. And then switching his gun to his other side. He probably did this once every minute. And I was... But the other guard was perfectly still on the other side.
Yeah.
My kids were like, why is he doing that? And I said, I think because he's fucking hot, if I'm being honest. I think because he's hot and uncomfortable.
Huh.
And so I think he has to click his heels twice, like, you know, Judy with the red ruby slipper in order to move his gun. Oh, we went to the Museum of Natural Science there, there. Holy shit. That fucking, we went to.
I bet the museums are great there.
This is what I wanted to say. I was forgetting and now I remember.
Okay.
Guess where we went.
Where?
Westminster Abbey.
Oh, Westminster
we went to the
Abbey.
Westminster Abbey. I have never in my life. Okay. The Westminster Abbey. We all have heard of it. You've probably seen pictures of the inside of it.
Yep.
It is a huge abbey, a huge church, essentially, like a cathedral-sized church. It's incredibly large. We go... And there's lines everywhere, and we try and go in one line, and there's a bunch of guards there, and they're saying, no, you can't go in here, you got to go in there. And so we go over there, and there's you have to buy tickets. And I'm like, oh, you have to buy tickets? Like, most churches, like cathedrals in Europe that I've been to, you don't have to pay an entrance fee, unless it's like the Sagrada Familia in Barcelona. Then I understood. Did you see, by the way, the Pope was at the Sagrada last night?
No,
and they did a whole light show with that.
Oh.
With
cool.
that cathedral,
mm-hmm.
you and a live orchestra and choir.
Wow.
You have to watch it, Chrissy. Okay. It's probably one of the most impressive things I've ever seen in my entire life. Fireworks, the whole nine yards. I'm sure that's exactly what he was thinking about when he built that cathedral. Let's make it the Disney castle.
Yes.
But anyway, it's beautiful. Watch it.
Okay.
So we buy tickets. It's rather expensive. I'm thinking to myself, to go see a fucking church? I mean, I know. And Astrid's like, did they get married here? Like, die and princess?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. No, I think they got married at the Church of England, which is a different thing, a different place. But the Westminster Abbey, you know, it's world famous. So I'm saying, let's culture the kids a little bit. Let's just pay and we'll go in there. So we go, we get some headsets, we walk in, Astrid's got her headset in, some of the kids have headsets. I don't have mine on because I'm trying to get my kids to, you know, kind of fucking move along. And I'm walking, and as I'm walking, I walk over a big, like a big thing that's in the on the ground, and it says, Sir Isaac Newton. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. They made a little plaque for, look, honey, they made a plaque for Sir Isaac Newton. She's got her headset in. Sir Isaac Newton. Isaac.
Apple.
Newton, the Apple guy. You know what I'm talking about. And she goes, no, that's his body. And I go, what?
Yeah.
And she goes, that's his body.
Yeah, they bury people.
And switches. I go, that's his body? That's his fucking body. Sir Isaac Newton is buried inside of the Westminster Abbey, and you can walk on him.
Yeah.
You can take your fat fucking feet and put them on Sir Isaac Newton's bones. Charles I, Charles II, Edward I, Edward III, queens of all manners and shapes, Nelson Mandela. Oh my God, how many people are in this fucking abbey that are literally entombed buried. Or buried mm-hmm. in this abbey? It's quite unbelievable, actually. Yeah. I was just super fucking impressed. Queen Elizabeth is not there, though. The most recent Queen Elizabeth, mm-hmm. she is not there. She's buried somewhere else. But yeah, it was just so fucking impressed at how many dead people were in the Westminster Abbey. It's a creepy, creepy, lovely place. It's beautiful. But there are, you know, it's sarcophaguses everywhere where, you know, bodies are and, you know, there's someone's ashes are down mm-hmm. there. And it's just it's a living, breathing monument to history and dead people. And I thought it was super and endlessly fascinating.
Very interesting.
My kids, however, did not feel the same way, so we weren't there too long. But, you know, I kept on telling us, Sir Isaac Newton right there. They kept saying, so? Fucking,
who?
Fucking cares. Who else was it? Let's see here. Buried at Westminster Abbey. I just want a list. Can you give me a list? There are 3,300 people buried at the Westminster
Abbey. That's a lot.
Chrissy, that's a lot. King James I. But there was someone that I was like really impressed with. Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin.
Oh.
That's who I walked over first. But then I also walked over Sir Isaac Newton. Stephen Hawking. Charles Dickens. T.S. Eliot. Jeffrey Chaucer. They're all buried there. They're all buried there.
Very cool.
You got to go see this.
Oh, yeah.
Handel, the composer, mm-hmm. is there. Beethoven. No, I don't know if Beethoven's there, but I think it would be cool if he was. But you got to go there, Chrissy.
I will.
You're not cultured enough.
Maybe when we go to Venice, then
when are you going
to
Venice?
Rome. No, Rome. When we go to Rome, we talked about this yesterday.
Yeah. We're going to go to Rome.
For the podcast conference.
That's right.
And then maybe when I'm over there, I'll pop over to London. Then.
How do I get my boss to pay for both of us to go? I think it's just something he
just
needs.
Just expense it. Write it off.
Yeah.
It's a write-off.
It's an extra $15,000 to go to Rome. I was looking at tickets yesterday. I'm like, well, I'd love to justify this, but I don't know that I think I can, but I don't know that I can. I was like,
crazy.
I got to start making meetings. Oh, it's totally insane.
It's crazy.
It's insane. You can't Mm-mm. you can't just pick up and go to.
No.
You just can't pick up and go to Venice like you used to be able to do.
No.
You can't go for the weekend like you used to be able
to. It's awful.
Things are getting crazy.
Yeah.
We got to stop this war.
Yes.
We got to release the Epstein
files. And it looks
files.
Like things are ramping back up.
They're bombing the shit out of them again. And God bless, because people die in those things, and that makes me sad.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not all bad guys. I'm sure it's not. War is fucking hell, and it's not all bad guys. And it goes both ways. So don't expect that, you know, we've heard the last of this. So if we get out of the sit room and stop talking about your nipples,
God.
Maybe we can fix this war. You know what I'm saying? God damn it. If only the bare naked ladies were back together.
Yeah.
Listen, Rush is back together. Why not the bare naked ladies?
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's imminent.
I'm sure the bare naked ladies are on tour. They've got to be.
Yeah.
You think the bare naked ladies ever stop touring?
Well, I was going to say, I just kind of always thought of them as being around somewhere.
Bare naked ladies tour. If Dave Matthews is still playing. Oh, they're coming to the Ameris Bank Amphitheater. Look at that. in a month from now.
Oh,
Chrissy, why don't we go?
So they did reunite, or is the guy not Steve?
He hasn't been in the band
in 20 years, okay.
Probably. Oh, wow, they're on an extensive tour. And they can still fill a place like Ameris Bank?
There's got to be some other bands playing, too.
I got to imagine. They can't be the only ones, right?
No.
Because do they really have that kind of cachet anymore?
It's probably part of some, like, 90s tour.
Yeah. Thing. Let me see here. Bare Naked Ladies tour. It just says Bare Naked Ladies. Oh, and Train.
Oh, Train. Train and Bare Naked Ladies. Old Train.
Let's see if there's any tickets available. Unbelievably. Unbelievably, Chrissy. Tickets are still available.
Oh, God.
For as low as $18. So maybe we can go and I can see if I can rekindle some of that old Bare Naked Ladies magic that
mojo.
I have.
Mojo?
Yeah. You could be my new Jess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll feed you to the wolves.
Right.
Ah.
I've been that lamb before.
Yeah. I remember we were trying to figure out like how we were going
to... That backstage lamb.
We didn't make it to Birmingham, in case anybody wants to know the end of the story. And the reason we didn't is because me and my dancer girlfriend at the time, or the girl I was dating, stayed up for like two straight days and decided that since neither of us had a car, we couldn't go.
Yeah.
But hey,
best.
Listen, there's only so much Bare Naked Ladies you can handle at one time. Drove into apartment. This is where I used to live. All right, Chrissy and I will be back next Tuesday, Wednesday, and possibly Thursday. If you're good, children. If you're good. If you get your scooter ass through the
Wednesday
ticket booth.
I think Wednesday and Thursday, right?
Oh, yeah, Wednesday you're and Thursday. Gone. I'm sorry. I'm going on Tuesday. Yeah, Wednesday and Thursday of next week, 1 p.m., youtube.com/thecommercialbreak. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
Best to you.
Best to you.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.
Chillin' and sing this.